You know you deserve to be at the head of the table. There ain't no question for you, you see.
Right. So what Ion was saying about the button in the napkin, Sasha, is the angels are here as butlers. And if you're in S class, they're going to be buttoning your napkin. And if you're in economy, they're going to be making sure you don't sit to somebody between two really fat people who are going to squash you like a little tomato. So,
right.
And, honey, if you and your own little cocoon, they'll bring the bottle to you. You won't have to.
That's right.
You won't have to wonder if there's cold ice available or not.
And in the metaphor of the airplane, the flight attendant will be the angel.
Of the angel. Now here you go. Here you go. Now this is getting good. Now, okay, you got the. We got now. This will be now. Sue, just forgive us in advance because our vernacular is going to be so apropos that you're going to giggle. But we don't mean this, as J.W.'s mother would say, we don't mean this bad, but we mean it, okay? You have your attendants. You have your co-pilots. You have your pilots. You have your people that count the dots of where you are, if you're on where you're supposed to be. All right. You got your lead stewardess. Uh-oh, bad word. Lead head. The one that tends to everything on the plane and is in charge of first class. The senior representative as far as handling anything on the plane. Okay?
In charge.
In charge. Now, does that mean that that one doesn't also clean a latrine from now and again? Yes, they do. But not as quickly as some of the what you call the grunts. That don't know the difference between ginger ale and tonic water.
Mm.
All right. So if you're going to use it that way, that's all right. That's all right. So you'd have a layer or anybody can get you a drink. No problem. But if you're in first class and the grunt has to run a cart beside you, that's not the same as the one that's taking care of you, the attendant that's taking care of you and in the front of the plane, tending to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lay it out that way, that's an okay way to play with it. But all can do any aspect of it. But at the end of the day, if there's an issue, okay, if there's an issue, it's the head in charge attendant that's going to make the call. It can turn that plane around and take it back to the smoking section of the terminal if you desire. The grunts can't make that call.
So, in the angel realm,
yes.
Who makes that call? Is it a seraphim, or archangel, or?
That would be, an archangel would be like Sue, in charge.
Okay, so to clean all of this up, you know, when they get on their little looky box and they see the nine orders, well, the way it's presented on the looky box that archangels are, well, they're next to the bottom of the barrel there.
Well, not so much. Not so much. Because the archangels would be the ones tending to and providing the best benefit.
So when you're looking at it, okay, so if you was to look at it on the looky box and they go, these are the nine orders, and they go from, and this is the way it was stated, from the highest to the lowest. Now, I guess you would have to go into and define what highest to lowest actually means. But they start with the highest to the lowest, and they go from seraphim, cherubim, you know, then they go all the way down, throne, you got your virtue, or dominions, virtues, powers.
Principalities.
Yeah, archangels and angels. So that's just a bunch of crap, is that right?
Well, no, the segregation is not a first to last or last to first. That's the crap portion, is that if you attach one is more important than nine or vice versa.
So would any one of those be more important or have a hierarchy over any of the others?
Well, the archangel would have more say, just as the lead attendant would have final say regarding the inside the cabin of the plane.
So, okay. So the way I read it, and I'm just talking about looking at the looky box, if I was to write that, I'd say the highest, number nine, is archangels. And then you go down from there.
Okay,
okay, so, and that was my thing. When I looked at it, and they said, well, wait, now, they're telling me these are the orders. And I took it as...
Order doesn't mean significance.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's what I wanted to get cleaned up.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody yell?
No, I just said that got cleaned up.
Huh?
You said that got cleaned up. Now, we're sorry about the metaphor, Sue, but you see how that
great.
It can apply. It can apply, and it's not a problem. It's just a way to give a visual to it. Because you know as well as anybody that that's sort of how it flows. I mean, if the fit hits the shin, they're going to bring it to you sooner or later.
Mm. Okay. So to further develop this, as it was laid out.
James, get ready. You're going to go there? Okay, go on then. Come on.
Well, I just want to get it straight, that's all.
Mm.
Well, the gaze would say forward, never straight, Brian.
Okay, let's get it forward.
But, Brian, you're missing Margarita's advisory that don't rely too much on an image. That would...
Yes, so he can have a new social perception regarding the bias that's been laid out so far, Bob. So he's obsolescing and retrieving to a laudable conclusion that he can use to juxtapose his becoming positions. Too many words, Bob.
Yeah, no, Brian, when he said, are you trying to look for Garden of Eden, and his explanation sounded like he was saying that we were misled by looking for it. Is that the point you were making 3 hours ago, Brian?
No, my point was looking for it, and I'm going to use me looking for it in my current state. The state I'm in, looking. See, what's been said? What do you see? Well, what you see is a lie. Now, that just didn't sit with me very well, and I wrestled with that. I'm like, what do you mean what I see is a lie? Well, okay, well, what you see is not, and then you say this comment all the time, what you see is not real, and what you don't see
right.
is real. I'm like, well, how the
right.
hell does that work?
Okay, it's just, here we go. We can do this on your world. We'll get out of the airplane. Let's get in your cab over. You get in that air seat, and you fire up that Peterbilt, and you feel that rumble, and you get everything, knobs, buttons, pushing in and getting it going. You double-clutch that bad boy, big dog, and let her go. You look at the road. You don't see the road. You have to see the windshield. You go, Ion, I look through the windshield. We go, the fuck you do? You can't see through the windshield. It shields the wind. You say, no. My visual bias goes through the windshield. And we go, well, isn't that very interesting? So, if we fog up your windshield or put 3 inches of ice on it and get your defrogger so it won't thaw off that ice, or you camp over and you got ice all over your truck, you have to clear your windshield to see the road, then you aren't seeing the road. Your gauge is based on the condition of your windshield only. All right, now let's keep going. Now you got lights on your truck, so you can drive at night. Okay? Uh-huh. Now it doesn't show you the light all the way through to your final destination. It just gives you about 200 feet at a time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's giving you a perspective of 200 feet at a time. But how do you know that 200 feet ahead of you is going to be a damn road?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
Well, if my windshield is not fucked up, I can see it.
So now your sightedness is limited only by the condition of your windshield. So now success or failure regarding your sightedness depends upon the detailed condition of your windshield.
Okay, so what are we using? Now we're talking about the windshield. So now let's talk about...
Well, no, we're talking about what you see in your truck. You don't see the road, you see your windshield.
Okay, well, let's go back to the analogy we was trying to get at before. We're reading all this stuff.
Right.
We're reading about the river and the trees and the garden and where is it.
Yep.
Can't see it.
Oh, that was just trying to show you how the connection of axiom water and living water is going to be made available to you. That's all that was about. That was your free part.
Cool. Right. But I'm saying the sightedness of seeing these things that we're reading in the Bible.
Yes. Are the clues that you left you so that when we come and tell, and you mean to tell us, Ion, well, no, we don't mean to tell you. We show you where you left your clues all along so that your dim-witted vision can be sighted based on what you call the last gluten-free expression of your, the essence of your creation. We're just the big old snow brush in the tractor trailer cab over of God.
Okay, let me go at it like this. Now the cleaning, or let's say we'll say the elimination of the windshield altogether, or the cleaning.
Oh well, why don't we call it visual enhancement?
Okay, so the visual enhancement, that's done by the extensions of the non-physical versus, you know, getting into the knowledge thing, getting into the tree of knowledge.
Well, that's just perspective. That's just perspective. That's all it is. They were poking at perspective, and you don't care about that, and that's all right. We get that, but the point of it is it's just perspective. They're just trying to get the landscape. So they can practice that. This is practicing hand signals for the blind. You see? Because once you look and see, or don't have a visual bias that eliminates a possibility, then outcomes are known. And what this rewrite is about is pointing out for the very first time where you had it all along. Because, see, the routes that you take most often, you could close your eyes and do just fine. Hell, you'd be a damn better driver if you'd take a nap. Oh, wait, no, that's not the best example, is it, Brian? No, but you see, you know where the Smoky Bears is sitting. And there's no way you could know that. You know when the dam water's going to be flooding. You know when the water's too thick to go through. You know when the storm is going to come. You know when you can make up your time. You've learned how to lie, cheat, and steal on your damn logbook because what you do can't be done. You don't have a problem with that. No problem. Oh, well, we just have to adjust it. Well, we just have to adjust it. We just have to adjust it. And you do. And that's why they leave you the hell alone in your business, because you log in more miles than you can.
I was just wanting to get at the whole sightedness. The whole thing got me with the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Okay.
That's just a socio perspective of location and proximity to living water.
Okay.
And the reason that it's important to you, and the reason you're trying to clean it up, because you don't even care about all that. All you're interested in is getting to your throne and setting your happy ass down as God in power. And we want that too. So any conversation that rolls along that way, we jumped into this earlier before you arrived, and we says, oh no, we have to wait on Brian. Because we knew you'd tear us up if we got into that without you. So we held that for just such a moment as this, and it's a good day. All right. Now, Palmer, you've established a few things here. Now, Bob don't even have a clue where he is. So, explain what you just got to Bob.
Explain what I just got to Bob. Well,
do. Because if you can convince Bob, you getting his piece of cake.
Well, here's what I'll tell you, Bob, and this is just for me.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, don't thank me yet, Bob. Wait.
I was just indicating I was here.
For me, I'm getting to this place of never minding and then just giving attention to, I don't know, certain things that move me and not minding every single little thing going, which I did before. I'm getting to that place. And the disengagement of these extensions, I'm finally getting myself to the point of just, I guess it would be the allowing part, just let it be. Don't try to fucking psychoanalyze every little detail. Just let it be. Know that it already is, which I'm getting there, and it will be.
Now, yeah. Brian, one little insert, just a tiny one. Now, what you're describing for Bob is not the same as come what may. That's very different. See, come what may means that you're going to fit yourself into whatever terror befalls you. You're not saying that at all. What you're saying is, as you're aware, you know that you have control, so come what may is only what you allow.
That's right. And that would tie in.
That's significant, because he'd get tangled up with that, and this would end in tears.
That's right. And that's kind of like the whole thing of speaking to the angels. Why do you know what you're saying to the angels? We already know. You just know what you're saying to the angels, and you just, you know, as it was laid out, you just throw your head back and just...
You have a regard of communicating with the angels that caused you to communicate with the angels, and that cleans up your vernacular. So you can't mess it up. The spooks can't intercept it. The phone waves can't record it correctly. It can't be ciphered. It can't be misspoken. Some would say it's perfect.
It's like a secret idiosyncratic code.
It's the perfect play for cipher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute. How many letters does Angel have, Bob?
According to my calculations, I'm using my computer, 5.
And a typical play for Cypher has how many idioms.
Idioms?
Two.
Idioms. I think it says five.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay, good.
Is Ginny still here? So you heard that, Ginny, okay? Now, the last page of Finnegan's Wake, one of the interpretations is an angel's coming down on ALP.
The?
ALP is in Peter and Olivia Plurabel.
What's a cipher?
Look up Playfer, PlayFerciPher on the Wikipedia. It's a way of decrypting things, or crypting and then decrypting.
Playfer. A Playfer?
Yeah, PlayFer, or OR, but I think it's ER.
No, it's like Playfair, FAIR.
FAIR.
Oh, okay. Playfair.
Playfair cipher?
Yeah, two words.
C-Y-P-H-E-R?
C-I-P-H-E-R, cipher. C-I-P-H-E-R.
You know, like reading, writing, and arithmetic, you cipher. Not from not is not ciphering.
C-I-P-H-E-R. First part is Playfair. So did Brian finish explaining something to me?
Well, we was doing a little bit of tentative correction, but he was doing real good.
No. What was he saying? I think you interrupted it.
We did. We're sorry, Brian. We run you off the
Nothing
rail.
Gets finished here. Many rush you up the pole and get about halfway up and then they jump to another pole.
No, for me it's getting away from the whole thing of well, you've heard the phrase of, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, if what you see is a lie, then that's...
Okay, well, I was thinking that the Garden
of
Eden...
You know, that's what they used to say in Joplin, Missouri. By God, they can see it now, can't they?
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you got the Garden of Eden, 2.5 square miles, and then it becomes most of the middle of the East. Do you know how to explain that?
Can I not explain? Well, see, well, now you're talking
he
about...
He doesn't care.
Well, what I'm saying is, when I've ascended, I'll see it.
And you are. And that's the process that you're becoming to now.
Yeah, like, why would you attend this? Why don't you just go home and wait to be ascended?
Because it's no fun.
Right, so the getting there is the fun, not the gotten there. So, Chad, even though we're playing with strings of images, it seems to be the only thing bequeathed upon us.
Yeah, but it's also been said along the way that...
Get you to...
Go ahead, Chad.
It's also been said along the way that it is okay to have a visual bias. Like, if you know you have a visual bias and you're using it temporarily, you don't get hung up on it. It's just one stepping stone.
Well, what do you make of this Garden of Eden going from 2 square miles to the huge expanse that Ginny described?
What do you mean it goes from 2 square miles to that expanse?
Oh, and her later quote, it was as big as Jordan, Syria, and whatever. Big, huge area.
Depends on what you triangulate from, Bob.
It would depend on how big the squares are on your grid, whatever your scale is.
Ratio, okay. Perspective.
Okay, who wanted to ask about triangulation? This might be the time to bring that up. I think it was Barbara. Is she still here?
Barbara. Hello?
Hey, darling.
Hello?
Did you want to know about triangulation?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, darling.
Hello?
Yes, darling.
Sorry,
did you want to know about... Did you want to know about triangulation?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, let me go back to my
question.
All right.
Can you explain the method or process in which an outcome can be revealed by using triangulation?
Yes, and we'll do it real simple. Do you know how the GPS on your phone works?
Yes.
The same way.
Well, but where do you make those points? I mean, where do you find
you choose
the triangulation points?
You choose them. You choose them. You choose them. Okay, you're at your back door, right?
Okay.
You choose two other points. Let's say your door is one point. You choose a tree or a swing or a car or a rock or a bush. Okay? Then you can triangulate anything inside those three points.
Okay, so
and you're saying, well, Ion, I can see those things. I don't have to triangulate that. And we go, exactly. But if you're in a what if you had that from, what if your triangulation points were Butte, Montana, Brownsville, Texas, and City Island, New York? You couldn't see all that. So your triangle would be large, and then you could pinpoint on a very large ratio scale any pinpointed aspect within those three triangulatable quadrants or a triangle. And you keep dividing the triangle into by half, each line segment by half, and you make that a triangle. And then you divide that by half, and you make that a triangle. So you can get it to pinpoint accuracy, so much so that your telephone will say, go 100 yards, turn right, and go 2.1 miles and turn left. Park in the front, pull over, and it'll take you from wherever you are, because it knows where you are, and it triangulates you to the coffee shack.
How would this work with, like, an event?
That's a good example. The event, the show, that's a good place. You can look how Hal Holbrook would have his little laid out thing there, and he knew because vibration, there is no time. Vibration can be gauged in a flat, linear, geometric perspective. Well, if you can lay it out in a flat, geometric perspective and take vibrational waves like music out, musical notes out of a pipe organ, it doesn't come out like a water hose, it fills the space. But if you could plot those vibrational frequencies on a flat, linear piece of paper, you could accurately calculate from a future point an event that would occur and what the event would be as it occurs. And exactly what you call timing of a future experience. And the reason you're able to do that is because there is no future experience. You're just including your now into a larger perspective, or you're doing an associative, visual, autonomic balance that allows you to calculate exact to the 10,000th decimal point, if you'd like, exact event horizons that are achieved because you have triangulated to the singularity, which is the vibration, which allows that knowing to be considered by you.
Oh, gosh. I still don't get it.
Yeah, it was a mouthful, wasn't it, darling? If you know, you don't. There's no reason to triangulate. If you don't, triangulation will work. We said in the beginning, Bob said it was going to be the downfall of non-physical, and that's great fun. He says, if you can't remember, triangulate. Okay, if you would like to know what the weather will be tomorrow, we'd say, well, you can do it like Jenny Bell. She sets what the weather is, and that's what the weather is. Now, is she triangulating or is she creating? We can't see the difference. in our world. But now, from your perspective, you're asking a good question, and it's honest and fair and appropriate. You know, you want to know. Okay, and if you play with the aspect of pinging off towers and measuring the distance between towers, like your cell phone does, your phone knows where you are, or it is. And from knowing where you are, it can tell you how to get to another place in your future. Okay? Because if you're at your house and you want to go to the grocery, and you don't know how to get to the grocery, your computer tells you in advance how to get to the grocery. Right? Because you have, and it'll even tell you how many damn minutes it's going to take you to get to the grocery. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's predicting the future, isn't it?
Yes.
Same thing is the case with any other occurrence in your experience. Now, back to the event. Hal Holbrook was sitting there, and he was looking. He had this big stone, these lines and angles and circles and arcs and chords and different little shapes and diagrams. You can see it on the show. It's available. And then he had these little dominoes, these little tangents, these little line segment little things, like little domino things. And the little woman, his assistant, walked in and said, and they was having some emphatic gobbledygook, and asked about Mr. Walker, this Scott Walker, who was supposedly this guardian, Hal Holbrook's benefit or nemesis. They don't ever show you exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's just sort of playing with it. And he looks at it. He looks at his tablet, his stone, and he's got picks up a little domino, and he says, "Well, it looks to me," and he looks at it, and you can tell he's sort of ciphering a little bit there. He says, "Well, it looks to me that me and Mr. Walker are going to cross paths very," he laid the little domino down, he said, "soon." See, he was triangulating when he was going to intersect with Mr. Walker.
And when he did, he shot himself.
Shot himself in the head.
That's the punchline, Sue.
So he created that himself. He didn't have to triangulate.
Oh, he most certainly did triangulate. He knew exactly when the future intersection was going to occur vibrationally.
He knew he was going to shoot himself?
He knew he didn't. That's not what we triangulated. What he triangulated was when he was going to intersect with Mr. Walker.
And he did that based on
triangulation of vibrational frequency in a flat geometric perspective.
And how is the frequency determined? The point.
By the size of the circle from the center point of any triangle of three points. The size gives the amplitude of the peaks and trough of a wavelength that would be beginning from the actual point of triangulation, the sine. Cosine would be a minus one, so one block behind it, going toward the future event.
Is everybody getting this?
Yeah, we've been through this. It was before you guys showed up. And we don't give out the formula anymore, but maybe you'll get it. I don't know.
Well, no, she's just getting the tops about triangulation, and that's what's key, because that's what all she's asking. She's not asking necessarily to get it. She's just trying to get what in the hell are we talking about when we talk about triangulation. And so we're basically describing a fractal antenna of applying mathematical fractals that will tell you accurately, precisely, events that you would engage, whether it be very soon or far off. Because, see, darling, what we're talking about simply is it a big triangle or a little triangle? Is it a large space or a small space? Is it something that you can already see yourself? See, if you lost your car keys, you could triangulate where your car keys are. But if you're looking at the table or the basket where you put your car keys and it's laying right there, there's no reason to triangulate it. But if you know where your car keys are and you're practicing triangulation, you certainly could, because you know the outcome in advance. So if you used any type of ciphering to figure where your car keys are, that would show you, just like with Brian, it would show you the process by which you can prove your sightedness regarding.
Okay, so say I lost a car key, cell phone, what have you. How do you determine, how do you pick the 3 points then to determine, to get the outcome, to find
okay.
the
you, just pick the possibilities of where it could be. Is it possible that your phone is in Norway?
No.
So bring it in this way. Is it possible that your cell phone is in New York City?
No.
Bring it on home then. See, you set the pinpoints of the parameters that you're considering, and you choose. Okay, is it possible your phone's in Anaheim?
You know, I don't know. Actually, I think the phone was stolen, so it was a week. We haven't
that has then that has then you don't know.
I don't know, but I want to find it.
Well, then you have an activation on that phone. You put the kill switch on it, did you not?
Yeah, it's already restricted.
Well,
yeah,
if you were able
done.
To restrict it, then whoa. Now, wait a minute now. Now, there you go. There's your answer. If the same sons of bitches that was able to restrict it had to know where the fuck it was in order to restrict it. They could tell you precisely where it was. Otherwise, how would they find it to restrict it?
Yeah.
That's the benefit of getting a fractal application. See? So now all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, okay, and guess what else? Even if they got on the phone and programmed it, like you can program your phone to another phone, like if you replace a phone, you don't have to go anymore. You can just punch it in. You can set if it's been reset because of its fractal antenna and tell exactly who, what, when, where, how, and why the phone is.
So, Barbara, this what you're hearing is what was discussed 10, 15 sessions ago. It's an example of the depth of stuff we went into that the latecomers missed. So this is new for Barbara and Sue, and it would be for Legend, and I think Sheila. I don't know if Sheila's heard this talk before. What'd you say, Sheila?
It's Barbara again. I just wanted to know. Like,
No. What did Sheila say? She's 3,000 miles away. What did you say,
in
Sheila?
A hole.
Yeah.
I have heard it in a personal session.
Oh, okay.
And I talked to Ginny about it, so I'm...
All right. Okay.
Okay, well, I was thinking, can you do an outcome of, like, who's going to be president?
If you'd like to, darling.
So as an example, you would pick the date of when the outcome would be, and what would be the other two dates, and how would you...
Well, you'd do the candidates, wouldn't you, darling?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'd use the candidates that are in the running. Okay. And you have a sitting president now, and that's the Democrats, and then you have the Republicans. So that could be 2 points. Then you have an independent. That could be 3 points. And then you would gauge each of those in their office and do the sine cosine of their values. Values, isn't that interesting? Now, some of the old hands are just sopping this up like biscuits and gravy, because vibrational values is what we talk about with every pair that you run from a triangulation position. See? So you'd run it the exact same way. And then you would pull it out, and you'd see where the horizon shifts to by the new x-axis in your compulation, and you could tell exactly what A is to B.
Now, Chad, isn't this interesting, Chad? We're hearing what Ion did to us, you know, many months ago. But look at the way he jumps around. It's total gobbledygook compared to what we know what he's trying to get at. Any comment on that, Chad?
It's a bit oversimplified.
Simplified, leaving a million things out, and it's maybe it's like, how can Ion tell Barbara this? But he begins, but it's ridiculous. So it now becomes up to Barbara how to query it.
Yep. Well, it's like 3 years.
I'm talking to Chad. I'm talking to Chad for a second. So Chad, are you watching? We're watching the process be done.
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
again.
We're watching. Yeah, we're watching the replay of what happened in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when three-year-olds say, Mommy, where do babies come from? They're not asking about the nasty.
See,
Ian can't answer questions that aren't being asked either.
So, you guys...
Otherwise, we'd be accused.
What were you going to say, Barbara? You started off an interesting sentence. You said, you guys. That means you're talking about me. I'm interested. Go ahead. You guys.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Do you guys understand... how to triangulate and how to...
Oh, man, to what we understand. There have been three... We are the most productive lab in the world, and we produced RNA drops, cold fusion, and the triangulation formula. Three things which would give anybody some kind of utopia instantly.
And
any one of them. And we did
minerals.
And invisible minerals, too.
Invisible minerals.
We are the most productive lab in the world.
Dr. Zircon's lab
in Happy Valley.
We've got Ion 24/7.
Sung by the Happy Goodmans. That's right.
Back to you, Barbara. Yes, Barbara? You were saying?
What is it, because you have Ion available at your fingertips anytime, right?
No, it costs $100 an hour.
Bob doesn't know.
Not for me. Yeah, no, for me, you're right. For me, it's I have it anytime I want.
It's millions for Bob. It's millions. The agony he has to go through, he'd be happy to pay.
Yeah, I could only do this whole Ion thing if I was living in utopia like Maui. This wouldn't be much fun if I was in City Island the last couple of years. There's so much agony that goes on dealing with JW.
Really?
It's true.
It's true.
He's such a selfish creator. It's his way or the highway.
He's a selfish bastard.
Yep, the whole wide world has to round about what he thinks and what he wants and what he knows and what he. And then Bob goes, he. That's right, Bob. You got it. He. And so goes the lesson.
So, Bob, the stuff that you know, is this part of your new society that you're creating that you're...
Yeah.
New society creating? Are you joking? He was head of the society and he obsolesced, disbanded it, and started damn over.
Yeah.
Had all the world and said, fuck y'all, like CeeLo Green. I see you riding around town with a girl I love with a fuck you. That's like Bob Dobbs 101.
So is there anything we can really find out on in these revelations series without millions of hours or?
No, many hours required.
Well, I guess we'd start with the time element of that, darling. That's where we would sort of fall off the chains.
Yeah.
It's so much fun though, Barbara. It's just so much fun.
I know. It just goes off on some tangents, and then I'm just thinking, what did we learn, and why? What and how am I going to use my daily life?
Yeah, welcome to my world, Barbara.
Well, what's amazing is you can't remember anything.
Who, yourself? You think for yourself, Sue?
Then triangulate.
Yeah, Sue, are you saying you can't remember? You're saying you can't remember anything? Sue, or are you referring to me?
I find it very strange sometimes when I go upstairs and I think, have I taken my RNA drops today yet? Did I take them? Did I not take them? Did I take them at 8 o'clock or 11 or noon or 1?
I know.
I can't remember.
Sue,
even from the morning.
Make a note.
Sue. Well, no, it's like this. Sue. When in doubt, just take them.
Yeah.
And Sue, one of the advantages as you go through this process of not remembering is you allow things to change and slip.
Oh, good.
A lot
good.
Easier. Rather than walking around going, I know what's going on. I know what went on. I don't know. Many people I've talked to have had a memory change. You know, people who are really proud of remembering all this stuff. And all of a sudden it's slipping and you're like, what the hell? But no, it's a very good thing that it slips because then you can alt past in the present and the future without the labyrinth of your mind holding on to it and saying, this is what happened. I know what went on, that kind of thing.
Unless you don't have a strong visual bias already precluded.
A strong visual bias about taking my RNA drops?
Unless you don't have a bias for having a strong memory.
Right.
Is it better just to access your name than even dealing with triangulation stuff?
No, it's better to do everything.
And then sometimes
poison, honey.
I don't know what all this emphasis is on strangulation.
Blue cheese.
There you go.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well,
I had a session with Ion. He sang me a little song. Suffocation, a game you like to play. First you take a paper sack, then you put it over your head. Go to bed, wake up dead. Oh, suffocation. And it paid the bastard $100.
If you knew how many times I have yelled on these calls, and I'm paying this shit.
Well, you know, even though I don't have a memory, I find that when I'm on your calls, when I'm listening to cash flow, when I'm doing the mom thing, my brain is right there. I really, in the moment, I'm understanding, I'm contributing, I'm sucking it in, not blowing it out.
That's right. Suck, damn it. Don't blow, honey. You all right.
So I know that my brain functioning is good, and I really enjoy the thinking aspect and the laughing aspect and the... It's fun. Life is getting boring out there. This is
fun. And your body is responding in kind.
Explain that for me before responding in kind.
Okay.
And how we?
The more you never mind.
Yeah.
And the more you allow autonomic responses of your body to be the meme of the day. And that happens by engagement, little by little by little, or like Brian, quick, 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 it catches up very quickly. You'll hear us going on, like Chad, we were just kind of giving the high points of triangulation, and Chad was kind of going, okay, 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 and he sifts through every little bit to see if there's some little something else said, and then the next thing you know, he sees it, meaning... It's logical.
Mm.
It's logical. And once it's logical, it would be like thinking about getting in an airplane and taking off and arriving somewhere else and taking care of 200 of your unknown new best friends.
Yeah.
And in advance, meeting every desire and request in advance before you lock that damn door. Because, see, it's a different conversation once you lock that door, isn't it, darling?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, that's what we're talking about. And after you do it a bit, you just do it. You don't think about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to remember how to get in your jump seat. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's pretty fast to get, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let the cabin go dark. You could still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let the little lights on the floor come on. You could still do it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Not only could you do it, you could get everybody off safely while you're making sure the drink cart's counted. Because we have to count that liquor. We got to count that party liquor. We can't have no strays there. We got to keep a count. We got to have some documentation.
Yeah.
See, so that's a little example of just that. And what happens more and more and more and more, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. And that's why Brian just starts relaxing into it. He just sort of relaxes, and then some little point comes, and then Brian's on it like a chicken on a June bug. He's on it. And he gets that part, and it's cleaned up, and then he just lets the rest of it slide on down the road. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, point by point by point, his destinations are met. Every single time without fail or exception.
Yeah.
It's just that easy. And people go at things from different places, and that's good, because the fun of rewrite, this connection of rewrite, is it brings in multiple dynamics. See, now Deb ain't been running the show. Okay, but the connection that she has with this changes the entire perspective.
Is Deb here? Hey, Jenny, has Deb been here? She with you guys?
She's at her own place, Bob.
She's been part of this whole evening?
I think she fell away.
Okay.
A couple hours ago, he was here.
But you're saying, Ion, that Deb was influential in this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Bob pokes at y'all, rightly so. He's trying to teach y'all how to talk. How to talk right. Screw speaking well. Speaking well ain't serving you. But if you can learn how to talk right, well, are we coming up on the 6 hour when everybody falls away?
Yeah, we actually gone an hour past our limit, so we should wind up.
Well, it's just 30 minutes. It's only 12 for me here.
It's only 20 to 2 for me. Oh, wow. Good. It's been a wonderful night. My God, you guys are awesome.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time always flies.
Do.
Ion, I have one thing I would like to bring up, and it's something I've been looking and watching over the last couple of months. And, you know, I lay down a little portal thing, 1 foot on the land, 1 foot in the water. And even in the swing state, it's as if my length of my mind is restricted in that I'm not actually experiencing secondhand, let's just say, for some good words, what am I doing while I'm portaling, but it's like I'm just being thrown, my mind is being thrown a script and go, oh yeah, you just met a couple of your buddies and had a
business. This is private reading stuff, Greg. Come on. This is a private session.
I'm developing.
You got to relate it to the revelations. Don't go into the experience, just relate. You're doing some portaling. Now get into the revelations. What is it?
Well, if our mind has got certain parameters that we cannot bridge, you know, under normal circumstances, but we have these experiences in a portaling situation, or when we're imagining we're sitting in the middle of the angel drawing, and we have a sensing of something greater going on, but all our mind is being led to some dribble. Where do we bridge that gap so that we can actually have an experience of something that doesn't, actually have an experience of thing that will not offend the labyrinth of our mind? Like walking on Mars, let's say, and talking to a Martian, or, you know, just something so there in left field. Because I know everybody has experiences like I do, and dreams, and you go, what the fuck was that? But inside you sense something greater took place. What's going on there? How do we bridge the labyrinth of our mind so that we can see?
Well, you see,
things?
It's very simple. It's up to your perspective. And you've got to apply the perspective before the portaling's going to make much difference.
I have to apply the perspective that portaling won't make much difference.
Right. And once you apply that, then the portaling just becomes a position. And that's what they were showing you in Revelations. We'll give you an ass pass. We'll show you how it connects.
Okay.
Because that's the conductivity of connection, isn't it? And so, if Revelations gives a visual bias of how you can know how the sightedness is seen, and it's kind of like reading. How you know who wrote the reading right? Well, from the sighted perspective that says this is and this is not. Well, if Revelations give you the clues from your shifts that incur, do the shifts find you or do you find the shifts?
I think it's both.
Well, there you go. Now, there you go. And if you have any bias, either way, you've now got to shift the fulcrum to make it balance. But because you're saying you think it's both, you're kind of in the middle about it. Good. No problem. So some days you'll feel like a nut and some days you won't.
And that's okay. Well, Bob,
and that'll help you in your whole creation process. As you're creating things, see, then as you're having interconnection with others, it simplifies it very easy. And then as you're creating, you can allow that to flow the way you'd like it to flow. It's not a problem.
Okay.
So there's never a crossness with where you are in regards to where you want to be. Or confounded because you don't know where you are with regards to where you think you want to be. Because if it's just for shits and giggles, then it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's that way, then it's fun. And at the end of the day, you owe him, by the way, you also get everything you want. And that sounds glib, but it really is that simple, and that's what Revelations was trying to tell you.
What's Revelations trying to tell us?
That it's all for shits and giggles.
So, Greg, you related it to Revelations?
Well, what triggered me thinking about it was when you brought, thank you, Ryan. When you brought up on cash flow about this kid who had some appendicitis, and then he said he was sitting in the lap of Jesus, and people were, you know, wearing wings and things like that. He had to translate his experience back to some kind of media that he was used to experiencing through Bible class or something like that. So I've always, and we've talked about this in Revelations. Ion has said, people want angels. And, of course, Ion gives the, famous chuckle, and you have no idea and stuff like that. Well, if there's angels all around us right now, then what
there are
for me, agreed, totally agreed, what part of my brain, mind, labyrinth is not allowing me to see them? Just like the islanders couldn't see Cook's
Super ships. You answered your own question. Except for your lying eyes, you could.
So, Greg, you asked that question?
Yes.
And what did Ion say?
It's just,
he said it's all about giggles?
Well, no.
He basically said you can't see what, like, the angels that are around you because of lying eyes. So then, Ion, how do you get your eyes to tell you the truth or to show what else?
No. There are none so blind as those who cannot see. Okay? So how you apply that is Brian.
Yeah.
Tell Jenny Bell how to see stuff you can't see.
Tell Jenny Bell how to see stuff you can't see.
Yeah, you do it every day.
I quit trying to see it.
There you go. And he can smell the barbecue 200 miles before he gets to the damn truck stop to eat it. Can't you?
Well, it's what I was trying to tell Bob.
He can.
Now, listen. I've been having this conversation. There's been strangeness going on, and I couldn't put my finger on it. There's something afoot here, and I can't put my finger on it. I said, what the hell's going on? I told George, I said, you know what? I'll tell you what's going on. I said, all this never-minding business is starting to fucking take effect. I said, I don't fucking mind anything anymore.
Then that, number one, Virginia, that clears the windshield. Number two, it removes any propensity for a bias. Okay? Number three, it allows you to have a broader perspective, Sheila, a broader perspective that can include more choices, dynamics, and opportunities. Now, Greg's asking about seeing angels. And what Brian just said is don't see the angels. And there they'll be.
How does that relate to giggles?
Oh, it's just more fun if it's about the shits and giggles.
Don't giving it, this is Bob, your famous meme. Don't give anything emphasis and just let it appear.
You have to be careful or you'll put the emphasis on the incorrect syllable. Right.
Well, the incorrect syllable, we're always looking for the object of the noun, or not look for, but we're looking to emphasize the object.
That's a predicate. That has nothing to do with putting emphasis on the correct syllable. That's the predicate. That's the outcome. Get out of the outcome. Revelations has nothing to do with the outcome. It's just laying out of how to get you back to you. Doesn't give an outcome.
When you use the word predicate, does that mean outcome?
Predicate means the object of the subject.
Does that mean outcome? Can that mean be outcome?
Well, that's a verb. Be is a verb.
Outcome. Can that be the object of a subject or whatever you said?
Nope.
Object of the noun.
So the word outcome cannot be matched in the meaning of predicate.
No, right, because what we're saying is that Greg was focusing on the predicate.
So we don't know what the predicate is still, even today, we don't know what the predicate is.
Angels, well, if you'll shut up, we'll tell you. Angels are not included in my sightedness. That's a sentence.
Okay.
The subject is angels. The predicate is I can't see them.
No, the words were, are not included in my sightedness. In that sentence, what's the predicate?
The rest of everything after angels.